This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. You know that one friend who always finds the best travel deals, picks the right cards, and somehow ends up in first class for the price of economy? Smart Travel is like that friend, but in podcast form. They cover all things travel finance, like how to get real value from points and not just a tiny reward at checkout, the smartest ways to book flights without playing the guess the cheapest day game, and how to avoid paying for upgrades you won't use. Travel smarter and spend less with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Welcome to the Winging It Travel Podcast, your weekly ticket to the world, dropping every Monday and hosted by me, James Hammond, proudly part of the Voyascape Network. This is a travel podcast that throws out the itinerary and dives straight into the raw, real, and unpredictable essence of global exploration, chasing moments over milestones, those spontaneous encounters, immersive sounds, and unforgettable stories. Whether I'm hiking up volcanoes in Guatemala, or camping under the stars in British Columbia. I've met incredible people, seen breathtaking places, and collected unforgettable stories. I now get to share them with you alongside some of the most diverse and well-traveled guests from around the world. Expect engaging conversations that bring fresh perspectives and inspiring travel tales. There are also raw, reflective solo episodes where I share personal insights, practical tips, and honest stories from the road. This is a podcast for travelers, dreamers, backpackers, and anyone who's ever thought, "What if I just went for it and traveled?" If you're looking for stories to tell, tips to share, and experiences to inspire, then you're in the right place. There's so much travel content coming your way, it might just spark that trip you've been dreaming about for years. You can find Winging It and more fantastic travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com. The link is in the show notes. Let's go and explore the world. Hello and welcome to this week's episode. I'm live in Bangkok in Thailand. I just had 8 days in Australia checking out Brisbane and the Noosa area. So I thought I'd do an episode to tell you all the things I got up to, some great tips in here, the odd story here and there, and any information I think would help you plan a trip in that part of the world. So first off, I arrived into Brisbane from Vancouver. Now I actually went via LA because the flight one way from Vancouver to Brisbane is direct. That is about $1,200 Canadian dollars. You go down to LA and it's half the price. So I think that's a better deal. And you can always get a cheap flight down to LA. So that's what I did. Took about 16 hours and I arrived into Brisbane to scorching hot weather. This time of year, it's a little bit stormy, but it's hot. It's 30 degrees to 35 degrees. You're going to need your hat, your sun cream, your shorts, your flip-flops, and good walking shoes if you're dotting around the city. Now, we stayed at the Brisbane Sky Tower by Clix. And for a one-bedroom apartment, which can house two people because it's a double bed, that's $543 Canadian dollars. For 3 nights. If you want a two-bed apartment, that's obviously four people with two double beds, that's $797 for 3 nights. Unreal value in the center of Brisbane. Top notch. Couldn't believe it. Alternatively, if you want one that's slightly cheaper, Roma's Hostel is about $68 Canadian a night for a four-bed dorm. It's no frills, there's no brekkie, and it's fairly earthy, but it's right next to Roma Station, so a great location too. Talking of stations, public transport in Queensland and Brisbane area is 50 cents a go. That's on buses, trains and boats. Make sure you tap on and off, but 50 cents is some of the best value that I have seen for any transport across the world. Can't believe it. It also extends up to the Sunshine Coast to Noosa, which I'll come back to in a second, or you can go south to the Gold Coast or dot around any part of Brisbane. Unreal value. Take public transport. It really is worth it. But there is a caveat. The airport train is around $25 because guess what? That's privately owned and obsessed with making money. So that is an extra cost. If you want to get an Uber or a taxi, that will be more than double that. The trains aren't every 10 minutes, probably every 20, 25 minutes. So you can plan that ahead. I actually didn't get the train coming back because it absolutely pissed it down with rain. I didn't want to get wet with all my clothes and my bag. So I actually got an Uber. So I did actually pay probably about $100 in total for an Uber there and back. A big cost. Let's get to some activities in Brisbane. Now, I'm staying in the CBD. In the CBD, the Sky Deck is great value. It's free to go up to the top. It's got a great lookout point with that glass floor. So if you've got a bit of a fear of heights, don't worry, you can stand on that and not fall off. The views are sensational, 360 degrees around.
And there's a few bars up there for drinks around $12 to $15 a drink. That's Australian dollars. Grab a drink, grab a deck chair, grab a table, go and sit anywhere on the balcony and just watch the day go from mid-afternoon, transition to nightfall with the sunset. Brilliant views, an easy activity. And honestly, it is so worth it. Loved up there. If you want an alternative on the South Bank area, the Emporium Hotel has a free rooftop bar as well. Now, talking of South Bank, this is an area across the river. South Bank has great cafes, restaurants, and it has a nice little walk along the river, flat, with an added bonus of a city beach too. You can go and get your shorts and dip in there. Lots of people doing that, very busy this time of year because it's hot and there's a bit of shade to sit in too. If you do the park run at 7 a.m. on a Saturday, it runs along this route from bridge to bridge. Talking of bridges, the city is building itself to the Olympics. So they're building all these bridges across the river. Now, Brisbane doesn't have a beach, apart from the little city beach. It's full of rivers. So you're going to see a lot of bridges going up in the next couple of years. So there's loads to walk through. There are pedestrian ones only, so that's great as well. And from South Bank to the CBD, you can get there pretty easily across any bridge. In terms of restaurants to note, I went to Kushimaru, which is a Japanese restaurant. Unbelievable food, open till midnight, does great beer too. Always full of Asian tourists or Asian people who live there, so it must be good. And for me, love the katsu, love everything about it. Corbett and Claude is a very good Italian restaurant with decent value meals. That's in the CBD too. On the South Bank, we went to Arbor, which does great breakfast. I love their bacon and eggs with avocado and sourdough toast. Oh, get me there now. And they do great fresh bakery goods as well. I had one like a almond cake thing. That was unbelievable. For coffee, I do love Double Maker. That's towards the casino. Had it a few times, actually. We went there, must have been about 7 years ago now, and I remember it from last time, so it must be good. And in South Bank, we went to Lisboa, like a Portuguese-style cup of coffee. Very strong, sat outside in the shade with a cuppa, dreamy. So finally, on Brisbane, I'll come back to that to talk about the cricket later on. But a great city to walk around, easy to get around because it's cheap, or there's bridges, or there's walkways. I love doing the walk of going across one bridge, around the South Bank, then walk back across the Goodwill Bridge into the Botanical Gardens and back round into the CBD. That's a great walk. Lots of cafes and restaurants on the way, lots of shade to sit there and admire the views. I would highly recommend that. Right, for a day trip outside of Brisbane, like I said before, all transport is 50 cents. So head to Central Station, tap on, get the train to the Glasshouse Mountains. It's about an hour, hour and 15 minutes. And honestly, this is so cool. It's actually the same train if you're going to Brisbane Zoo, if you want to do that. So once you get off at the Glasshouse Mountains train stop, walk to Mount Engungun, I think that's how you pronounce it, because there's a nice little hike up to the top of the rock, and that has the best views of the whole area. Now, the Glasshouse Mountains are like these interesting prods of rock going up into the sky around the area. So it's flat, but these little things coming up. So when Captain Cook first arrived, he thought they looked like glasshouses from the UK. There you go. That's why it's called that. Plenty of them around, but this one specifically has the best views, as my friends Mike and Marissa told me, because they're locals. I met these guys for coffee one morning. Then they tried to goad me in on this day to abseil down a rock. I initially said yes, because it didn't look too high, about 40 meters. But when I saw the drop and I was hanging off the edge, I thought twice about abseiling down there. More about the technicality of it, really. Wasn't that scared at the top, was shaking a little bit, but I got right into the edge, hung off the edge. I just couldn't jump myself over and get going. I'm a little bit scared about doing that. So bottled it in the end, but I got as far as I could about actually going down. So for me, that's a win. Next time, I'll try and do it and maybe start with something a bit smaller or a bit lesser intimidating, because up the top there, the views are breathtaking and you are so high up. I mean, I would say the hike up is moderate at best, not that tough. The really difficult part was the hot day, probably about 30 degrees. So make sure you do take loads of water, sun cream and hat and a few snacks. And in terms of the technicality of the hike, not that difficult. So yeah, couldn't do the abseiling. They abseiled down, Mike and Marissa. I took their stuff up from the top and headed down with the boys. About half an hour to 45 minutes hike down. Really nice walk. Enjoyed it. Loved the views. And we finished the day with a pub lunch at the station. By the train station, there's a pub. Traditional, classic Australian fare. Lots of meat, beers, cold drinks, aircon, all the things you need. But make sure you check the train to get back to Brisbane, because they're not every 10 minutes. I think ours was an hour and 45 minutes. So we had that time at the pub. And it was great to catch up with Mike and Marissa. I last saw those guys in 2018 in Vietnam, can you believe? On a bus going up to the north of the country. Mike is about 6'5", 6", way too big for a Vietnamese bus. That was a laugh. But they were biking around the world. And you can check out that episode on the Winging It Travel podcast. Okay, let's get out of the town and out of Brisbane. Let's go further up the state to Noosa. Now, I got to Noosa in 2013. I ran out of money. I remember it being really nice, but I couldn't enjoy it because I had no money, no job, and I was desperate to get a job, basically. And I met someone on the East Coast. They gave me a number. I've had a phone box. I rang them. They gave me a job, and I was straight down to Melbourne from Brisbane, pretty much. So on that trip, I didn't actually finish my East Coast trip. I quickly got out of there because I was rapidly losing money, no backup money or anything like that. So yeah, it was time to go back and enjoy it for what it is.
Ready for an adventure that's raw, real, and totally unforgettable? Then join me, James Hammond, on my first ever guided tour of El Salvador from November 19th to 29th in 2026. We'll hike volcanoes, wander around colonial towns, learn to cook pupusas, and chill at black sand beaches. Spots are limited to 12 travellers with a minimum of 6 to book, and there's an early bird pricing of $3,995. So grab your backpack and book your spot. The link is in the description to book right now. Let's explore El Salvador together. See you there.
Actually, my friends Leanne and Lyle from the Beach and Travel Wine podcast picked me up from the Landsborough train station. This is the same line as the Glasshouse Mountains and Brisbane Zoo. And they picked me up, took me in the car, and went to Gun Cotton Coffee, which is a coffee roasters based out of Yandina Station. So that's another stop you can go to too. Really top notch. Would highly recommend. The coffee is insane. I think I might add two, actually. Is that good? And the breakfast was equally as good. In Australia, you're going to get the top breakfast and brunch. It's going to be sourdough bread, good butter, poached eggs, avocado, probably a bit of bacon as well. You cannot beat that. Then they drove me along the Sunshine Coast right up to Noosa before we hung out at the surf club on the beach there for a drink overlooking it. And when I got there, I was like, if you were to tell me when I was probably 14, 15, that Noosa was paradise and you showed me pictures and videos, I'd be like, yeah, that is paradise. It is so nice. It's an absolute dream of a place at the top of the headland up there on the Sunshine Coast. White sand beaches, warm waters to chill in, great coastal walks, palm trees, cafes, restaurants, great walks. We went to Hell's Gates, which is about a 45-minute walk from town. Not too difficult, mostly paved, or at least a designated path. And at the top of that headland, we saw a pod of dolphins. That was incredible as well. But Noosa itself is just full of independent shops, cafes, restaurants, great vibes. And to get there is pretty easy. So you can get the train to Kouroi, right at the top, then a bus from there to Noosa. So in total, that costs you a dollar. Probably take around 2 hours. You can get the Greyhound bus, which we did on the way back because we didn't know that public transport was so cheap. That's about $35 to $40 Canadian, and it's almost direct from Brisbane. They stop off at a few places along the way, and we did that going back to Brisbane. Not too bad, no dramas. Greyhound is pretty reliable. We stayed at an apartment in Noosaville, which is the town to the left, accessible by boat for a $16 return, and it's a bit more upmarket, more of an older crowd, but has great value apartments to stay in. We stayed at Moona Beach Apartments in a 4-bed one. So that's a total cost of $933 Australian. So around $233 a night. If you're in pounds, that's 2 to 1. So I think that's unbelievable value given the location and how easy it is to get into the main part of Noosa. Noosaville has great little cafes, independent shops and restaurants as well. Our favorites are Double Shot and Depot Noosa for coffee. They're both next to each other. So we hopped between the two. That was great. If you want a local cheap option for food, we actually went to the local fish shop, Red Emperor, for fish and chips. That's great value as well. You are going to have to get used to fish and chips in Australia. It's full of chips, fish, chips and chips. Noosaville has a lovely walk along the river, so you can keep going as far as you want. It's flat, it's easy, it's in the shade, great views along the front of the river and the spit that heads towards the Noosa town. Give me Byron Bay vibes, a bit smaller, but it's full of rich, young Aussie school leavers, like 16 to 17 year olds. They just left school and they go for a nice little chill out for a week. I mean, who's paying for that? They're getting brunch, they're hanging out on the beach. I guess mummy and daddy are paying for it, I suppose. But so that's a bit of a weird vibe. Way busy on a Monday and Tuesday, weirdly. But when I was last there, many years ago, not as busy. But overall, a dream day trip or a dream stay from Brisbane. It really is easy to get to. Honestly, go to Noosa. You won't regret it. Lots of walking, chilling out in the sea. There's no jellyfish, so you can go in without a wetsuit. Calm waters because of the bay, so it's not like waves coming in. If you go further down in Noosa, there's probably a bit more of a wave, but you can do some low-key surfing, but really it's not a surfer town, it's a chill-out town. Just sit on the beach with a drink, talk to your friends. I mean, absolute dream. I want to finish with this. I did go to Brisbane for half of it being the Ashes, which is a cricket match between Australia and England. It happens every 2 years and every 4 years in its own country. And Australia are notorious for beating England a lot in the 90s and early 2000s, but we did sort of turn the tide a little bit in terms of being away. We've always got tanked away from home, apart from that 10-11 series. So anyway, I thought, I haven't been to the Gabba in Brisbane. That's the main stadium to go and see cricket. It's about a 30-minute walk from the centre of town. And we got on tickets very, very early. Very cheap, actually, I thought. Probably like £30 to £50, so maybe $100 a ticket. We got days 1 to 4. It's a 5-day game. We didn't think it would go to day 5. Most test matches finishes within 4 days these days. And yeah, we had a great time watching England get absolutely tanked by the Australians. A highlight was Joe Root getting 100. That might not mean anything to anyone, but for Joe Root, one of the best England batters of all time, him getting 100 in Australia for the first time ever, he's about 34, 35, is a big moment. That cements his place as an all-time great. That was on day one night. And this is an interesting test match. It was from 2 p.m. to 9:30. So it starts in the day, ends at night. So a really great experience. I mean, I love watching cricket for 3 or 4 days. It's a whole day affair. You get really engrossed. There's loads of action going on, sometimes not on some occasions, but mostly just sitting there hoping for the best. It really is a thing for me. And if you want to watch and get an idea of what it's like, you can head to my YouTube vlogging account, which is Roaming with Hammo. I did a YouTube vlog every day for the cricket there. So there is 4 episodes on there to watch because we lost in 4 days. And I did day one, watching a test match cricket. And then on day two morning, I did the episode, finished it, uploaded it, then went to the play. So it was really full on days, up at 7:30 doing YouTube, then going to the cricket ground for two, watching the test match, not back till midnight, that sort of routine. If you want to know more about that sort of thing, click to my YouTube account that's in my bio or in my link tree, and you can watch what goes on at the cricket. It's not full on highlights. It's like reaction to stuff happening. Me and my friend talking a little bit of shit because it's a long day. You don't have stuff to talk about all the time. So we delve in some really random conversations. Good fun, good natured, spoiled by the cricket and the result. But actually, as a whole, enjoyed visiting the Gabba. We haven't won there for 40 years and I can see why. Next time, I'll come back in 4 years' time and go to Adelaide and complete the set because I've been to Sydney, Melbourne and Perth. So that was the Ashes. To summarise, that was just watching England lose. Joe Root was a highlight. Getting McDonald's afterwards. Not back into the CBD until 10:30. Getting a feed, back to the hostel, completely knackered. Shower, recover, go again. That was the second part of Brisbane. And now I'm here in Thailand, in Bangkok, heading to Bhutan tomorrow as I speak. But there'll be more on that in the new year. So that's kind of my episode today for Brisbane, the Glasshouse Mountains and Noosa. I hope you find this helpful. And if you have any questions about the area, let me know. I've been here a few times now. I don't think I missed out anything obvious. I would probably average a day, probably $100 Australian. That'll get you breakfast, coffee, maybe some transport, dinner and lunch as well. So not horrendous. I actually found Australia for budget not too bad. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying that. But in terms of value of the accommodation compared to other places, unbelievable. The Australian dollar is a little bit cheaper than Canada. So I felt like breakfast and dinner was not that expensive compared to Canada. Compared to UK, it's a dream. UK is a disgrace in terms of cost. But because you earn pounds over there, that is 2 to 1. So it doesn't seem too bad. My two friends I was with, Titchell and Sam, they're using UK pounds and they find everything really affordable and accessible. So maybe based on that, Australia is a good place to go. Now, based on living there, I don't think it's as good as it was. But from a tourist point of view, very easy to get to, easy to travel within, lots of things to see and do. An unbelievable place, Australia, and it's huge. I mean, you could spend all year there and not see most stuff. So my idea of going back would be a road trip up the West Coast and then back round to Uluru and down to Adelaide and across the Great Ocean Road and back up the East Coast. That'd be pretty insane. And then dip into Tasmania. That's on my list as well. So I hope you find this helpful. Let me know what you think. And the next time you're hearing from me will be another guest episode. And in the new year, I'll be delving into my Bhutan trip. I've got lots planned for that, some interviews, some immersive episodes, and some classic solo episodes like this one. And don't forget to rate and review the podcast on your podcast app. Spotify is a quick, easy click of the button. Give that 5 stars. Apple Podcasts can be equally as easy with a 5 stars. If you want to write a written review, that's great as well. I'd love to see and read them. Helps the podcast get a bit of traction as well. And on all the other podcast apps, just hit that 5 stars. That really helps. If you want to support the production costs of this podcast and equally the travel that I do to provide you with content, you can head to buymeacoffee.com/winginit and buy me a coffee for $5. That'd be great as well. And finally, the last thing I'll say is the best thing to do to spread the word of the podcast is by word of mouth. Tell your friends. Hopefully they'll come in for an episode and stay because I do release episodes every week. Lots of different types of content, different countries, different cultures, etc. Thanks for tuning in. That's enough of me rambling on. I'll catch you at the next episode. Cheers.
Thanks for tuning in to the podcast episode today. If you've been inspired by today's chat and want to book some travel, if you head to the show notes, you'll see some affiliate links below which help support this podcast. You'll find Skyscanner to book your flight. You'll find booking.com to book that accommodation. Want to stay in a super cool hostel? You'll see Hostelworld down there too. You'll find Revolut to get your travel card sorted. Click the GigSky link to get your eSIM ready for your trip. And more importantly, you'll find Safety Wing Insurance to get that travel insurance for your trip. There are many more to check out, so when you click that link and book your product, a small commission goes towards me and the Wiginet Travel Podcast. Thank you in advance and enjoy your travels.
Hey guys, Aaron Miller here from Armchair Explorer, and I just wanted to let you know that our new series is out now. We've got kite skiing across Antarctica, Aboriginal storytellers, and the craziest whitewater race in the world. We're going on a bucket list hike across Italy. We're going to the fjords of Norway in search of the Northern Lights and lots, lots more. Our goal is to take you on the trip of a lifetime every single week. You can find Armchair Explorer on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening right now, and at voyescape.com.
The New York Times named the Frommer's Travel Podcast one of the 13 best for travel. Why did they like it? Well, they said, and I quote, "With charisma and candor, Pauline Frommer discusses the charms and ongoing transformations of places near and far, whether on the islands of Hawaii or on safari in Tanzania." Pretty nice, huh? We post new podcasts weekly, talking about travel from every angle. I hope you'll tune in.